the next 8-4 Play podcast, your first, only, greatest, best, last hope for talk about Japan and games and news and Japanese games and Japanese news and Japanese gaming news.
Yeah, we've diversified.
Yeah, we got, it might sound like we have a lot going on, but I actually wanted to kind of make it clear from the top there that might be a little light on the games this episode, like I think most podcasts are right now. Just there's not a ton of new games and new gaming news, but we are going to soldier on with me as your host. I'm Mark Gamers McDonald, we have I'm going to call him a special guest because he's hasn't been around in a while, but he is now back by popular demand. Man who doesn't know what the hell this WandaVision is, everyone keeps talking about, and he likes it that way. That is Roy Taming of the Shrew Blakely.
That's me. I'm starting to come around on WandaVision.
Welcome back. Oh, wait. Thank you. Wait, did something happen since that tweet? Did you actually start watching it? Or
so when I made that tweet, I was very confused whether or not the internet loved or hated WandaVision. It seemed
The answer is both. I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's still that way? Because now I feel like it's starting to shift towards, okay, it's good, everybody should watch it.
I think it's largely loved. It's like 90% loved, right? And like,
if you, I saw articles written like, I thought that too, just because our friend group, everyone is like ridiculously
good taste,
crazy into it. Maybe a little too much, some people. But like the internet, I saw stories written like, here's why you saw everybody like hating the hell out of one. I was like, wait, what? So I think that there were like a lot of hot takes on both sides, apparently. But Roy, so you're just monitoring the chatter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I still regrettably look at Twitter a lot, even though I don't tweet that much. So I kind of made that tweet out of a place of just being like, God damn it, everybody shut up about WandaVision.
I've definitely been there. Oddly enough, I don't have that many people on my timeline, mercifully, talking about it, which is nice, unless I muted it and forgot, because it might be something I would have done.
You're not a
Marvel guy? You watch the movies?
I'm not really big into the comic book movies. Never really got into that.
Just to check, Roy, you didn't watch the Monster Hunter movie while you were okay, good, so save that. So that's we're saving that for the Patreon.
Don't
Gabe went and ruined it. Hey, listen, Roy, this is happening. The dream is real. It is happening. I'm going to tease you because it is going to happen. Yes. Believe, Roy. If you don't believe, it won't happen, okay?
I've been believing.
I don't know. It hasn't happened. And so somebody's not believing it. Somebody's not believing.
And, all right, well, is there hard plans coming together anywhere?
Top men are working on it, yeah. Roy. Top men.
Okay.
Are working on it. But so you want to talk about what you've been up to, your Shrew nickname?
Yeah, so I took some time off work because I haven't really been using it very much, because what are you going to do? Like, I can't go anywhere, so I took a week off and I sat in the same exact chair I sit in normally.
But a staycation, I think that's what they call that.
Yeah, it doesn't feel very cationy. It feels more stay.
More stay. Heavy on the stay, light on the cation.
Yeah. So, but I've been tweeting about the next game I want to work on. And I was like, I'm going to see what it's like if I just work on it all week. In kind of like take the same time slot that I would normally devote to work, but
use it towards the game
instead. And yeah, it was pretty great. Like, I would just put on, like, I have like some South Park seasons I never got around to watching, so I just put those on Netflix. Didn't really watch, just like listened while I would like draw and like the game I'm working on right now, it's kind of like 2D, 3D, or like you can have 3D objects, but all the sprites are one dimensional.
Your Paper Mario style.
Exactly, yeah. And so it's been a process learning how to make the 3D objects, because you have to like first create like a sprite sheet for it, then create like an object and kind of lay the textures over it. So it's like, it's fun, but it's like flexing weird muscles of like spatial awareness and stuff like that.
Right.
But I made a lot of progress.
Tell us about the game. Tell us about the game itself.
So it's... it's still very early stages, but what I want it to be is like a road trip that a bunch of like shrew-like creatures go on in like a dystopian sci-fi world.
Because another one of those. Yeah. Great. That's what the world needs, is another one of those. My God.
You mean, wait, do you mean dystopian or do you mean all of those elements?
I'm joking. Okay. It sounds very like disparate and very Roy and very original and actually and really interesting. I dig your shrew character.
He's so cute.
Yeah, he is. He's a good main character. But like, yeah, shrews on a road trip. It seems like an interesting. Did this come from somewhere or like? I'm so curious.
The original concept was Sarah, my girlfriend. We were talking once. I don't even know how we got on this idea of like making a game that was like a road trip of shrews, but it's like you have to manage their different aspects. Like they have to go to the bathroom, they get angry, and then depending on who sits next to who or who has control over the radio, like that raises everyone's like tantrum bar. And if their tantrum bar fills all the way, then they just fuck off out of there, and like you have to just continue on.
Tina's loving this, by the way. People can't see; she has her hands over her face. Is like
it was supposed to be kind of like Oregon Trail, but
okay,
no dying, just tantruming instead.
The shrew version of
Wait,
so you don't remember where the true road trip? That was just like the first thing that you started with.
It was just an idea that we came up with, and I was like, "That's just crazy enough to work." So I was like, I'm going to keep that one in my memory bank. And now that I'm working with, I'm actually working with another like bit of software designed to help people like me who can't code everything make a game. It's called RPG Paper Maker.
Okay.
So now that I'm using that and I'm like try to come up with an idea, I'm just kind of stealing from that true road trip idea and like,
sure,
putting it into an RPG, essentially.
Okay, right. So this is no longer the Shrewd Road Trip game. There is a car, there is a shrew, but this has become more of a JRPG kind of style?
Yeah, it will be, yeah.
Okay. Man,
this is Final Fantasy 15 all over
again. It's a fucking saga. It's
definitely got, a little bit. I mean, there were things about 15 that I liked that I think, I'll be taking a little inspiration from that. Even though I never beat it.
Did anybody here beat Final Fantasy 15? Gabe, you did?
Yeah.
Fan? Not a fan? You just talked about NSYNC for like a half hour, so
I could talk for another half hour.
Your judgment is suspect, but I'm gonna ask you.
My harshest criticism of it is that it didn't earn the ending. Like, I'm like, wow, this is a really cool moment, and I really appreciate what this story is doing, but you didn't do enough to get to this point for me to totally buy in. Does that make sense?
Sure.
And like what I tell my friends who weren't too familiar with all the craziness that went on with Final Fantasy 15 is that I will usually say, okay, just so you know, like the first 9 chapters is pretty awesome, open worldy, like back when we were playing Final Fantasy 7 and 8 and going, oh man, what if the open world were like 3D but down close to us and all that stuff. It's that. And then they ran out of money is how
really?
I will phrase it.
How many more chapters are, like, what percentage of the game is that through?
So right after chapter 9 is when it became extremely linear,
just roughly like ballpark.
I want to say like
half the game or three quarters, or
In terms of time, it's probably about three quarters when that happens. Maybe
I can guarantee you two-thirds. They did not run out of money. That's for sure. It was more, if we don't ship this, it's been fucking 15 years. This fucking thing.
And like following the stories and stuff, I knew that, but like telling people who are just like, you know, passerbys at work and acquaintances and stuff, I'd just be like, hey, just so you know, like if you're digging this open world questing thing,
yeah,
something happened and now it's different. So I'll just say they ran out of money.
Okay. Thank you. Well, that everyone, that's our Final Fantasy and what, boy band correspondent, Gabe.
Just NSYNC correspondent, please.
Kindle De Leon.
Ah, jeez, you had to.
I desperately need to know. I need to know like the that? Steps. I need to know the headspace.
Explain okay. The delicious pun that I just...
Delicious pun. So last week, Tuesday, I was making dinner. I felt like heating up some fries as a side dish for whatever I was making.
Pause.
Hello. Yes.
Heating up French fries.
Yeah, frozen fries.
Okay. So you have a bag of frozen French fries in your...
I have two.
Okay. And you will, like, for a snack...
No. For dinner. A side dish.
Oh, as a side dish for dinner, which was going along with what?
Chicken breasts.
Okay. And gravy. Cool. Thank you. All right. Continue.
Yes. So
I just had to know. I just had to know. My picture. I have to.
So
yeah.
I mean,
got it.
It's. So I was not. Basically, I was not paying attention. I was in my own head. What happened was, I have an e-reader. It has one of those origami fold it attached with magnets. So I put the oven tray on the table, forgetting or not noticing that the magnetic cover hitched a ride to the bottom of the oven tray. And I'm listening to, I think it was a soccer podcast or whatever. I'm not paying attention. Put it in my microwave oven at 200 degrees for 12 minutes.
It's all coming together now.
I'm watching the stove, looking at the chicken and getting the gravy ready and all that stuff. And like 6 minutes in, I go, it's smelling weird. What's going on with the oven? Oh, well, that's weird. I guess I'll just clean it out or something. I think sometimes I actually made the fan
smell like burning electronics. Who am I to judge?
Well, it made a noise too, right? Like it made a sound.
At about 11 minutes, we don't know for certain, Your Honor. I heard a pop. And I was just like, did I just hear a pop? Oh, that must be the ice maker in the freezer I have. You know, every now and then back in the
clunk.
And it's like my microwave oven is on top of my refrigerator. It's everything this code compiles. We're gravy here.
So to be clear, you were not using it in the microwave capacity though. You were using it as an oven, right?
This is an oven.
Yeah.
This is
which I don't know if it's like better or worse. Like it's somehow.
Well, if it were microwave, it would have done the lightning bolts reacting to the metal.
That's true.
Like,
immediately.
It would have been bad. So it's a blessing, I think, that he was doing oven, not microwave.
But he might have known faster and like immediately.
That's true. He would have known right away.
I might have found out faster.
It would have been like,
I would have been like, oh, that hissing. Huh, this chicken's loud. So we're sizzling here.
What I thought was funny is, so I see your tweet, which is just a picture of like a fucking e-reader with a battery popped, sitting in a microwave. And the tweet just says, huh, dinner smells weird. Here's pop. Guess that was the ice maker. Narrator, it was not. And I'm like, what is going on? Like, what are you talking about? Did he pose the exploded thing in the microwave oven for a background for a picture for some reason? Like,
so what happened?
Way he would have actually just put the thing in the microwave.
Of course not. Yes. It's just like the question I hate having to answer everyone when I share the story is, why would you put your e-reader in the microwave? That's a great question, player. Yeah. Why would I put my e-reader in the microwave?
I think the key thing that you did not mention is the magnetic like attaching to the tray part of the equation. And if you would have seen the tray with the French fries, but you don't have that in your tweet. In your tweet, it's just the e-reader in the microwave, and it's like you put your e-reader in the microwave and you were surprised that it
was
what happened here. How high were you, Gabe? Like
not in this country.
Oh, well, that begs another question, Gabe.
Actually, I'm straight edge. We've been through this.
So
the thing is, like, when it was done post pop and like, all right, 12 minutes are done, I walk to the microwave oven, I look through, and I just see a giant pink thing underneath a pink cover underneath the oven tray, and like my brain didn't know what to do, so I just walked to the bathroom and just stood there going,
you're like in shock, you're like,
your e-reader is in the oven,
the stages of grief.
What are you gonna do? I felt so terrible because it's like, that's a bad way to go. Like,
I wouldn't be feeling bad for the electronics. I would be like fearing that like the whole place was going to explode or some shit. Like,
yes,
who knows what's going to happen when a battery is in the microwave.
Yes, actually. So I had the following 24 hours after that incident were not fun. I had to figure out like, okay, this battery has inflated massively. Is it going to, how do I get rid of this?
Yeah.
Is it going to explode? So at one point I was like, okay, let me put it in the bathroom in case anything gets real. Yeah. I don't need to, you know, it's contained.
Am I wrong, or was it still working after that? Like, in your pictures, you can see it still has stuff on the screen. Was it just
that's just the e-ink.
Okay.
Oh.
That's just e-ink technology, because it was asleep. It had a sleep cover thingy on. So,
well, I hope this thing wasn't too expensive.
It was.
It was?
And it was, and the warranty is only for 1 year, and it's my second year.
I don't think this is going to be covered by the warranty, actually. I put it in the oven for 12 minutes, what a piece of shit. It broke.
If anyone's wondering out there, in Japan...
Yeah,
I'd love to see you return this under warranty. Like, bring it to the Apple store. It looked like this.
So I was genuinely worried this thing was going to like basically explode. It's not going to be a massive explosion, but it would pop and combust. So I was like, I don't know how to get rid of this. I don't think the electronics stores here, the Yamada Denki's, the Yodobashi's, I don't think they'll take this. What do I do?
Yeah.
So I like whole night, nervous wreck, trying to fall asleep. I ended up, because I was not comfortable with it in the bathroom for whatever reason. I was like, okay, you know where it will like combust and probably be safer? The oven, where I just fried the damn thing. Oh, so then I just put it back in, closed the lid. 8 a.m., I started calling fire department saying, hey, will you take this? And they were like, no.
So why would you do that in the first place?
Because they're equipped for dealing with fires.
Okay. Well,
for anyone wondering,
if
you have an expanded lithium-ion battery, just take it to your local electronics stop, because I walked in after going to a different fire department. My third fire department was just like, oh, go here. We'll look it up for you. Mm, and then
nice.
the nice man just looked at it and was just like, yeah, we'll take it. I didn't have to explain anything to him.
Damn it. All right, fine.
He was just like, all right, it's big. I had to explain myself to the fire department. They got a kick out of that. Like, the guy actually brought his boss to have me explain what was happening to him.
Okay, well, Gabe.
Now you got my glasses broke that day.
If you own a PSP and you've left it like in your closet or something for like 5 years, chances are you have one of those batteries too. PSP.
I checked mine and it's okay. Luckily, yeah, but they do love to. They do love to do that. You know who also loves to do that? Give her a break. Give her a break. Break her off a piece of that Sakura Kit Kat bar. It's Tina Bamba Carter. See what I did there?
No.
So you were excited about the Bomb, the like exclusive at Nintendo World Bomb, because you thought you had information suggesting that it was a cup, right? Which you were excited about.
I honestly, it doesn't matter what it was. Okay. I would be excited for it. It's a like large plastic Bomb, looking real cute. I'm going to want it no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
So like the idea of a drink container with legs and
you
like,
could sip through it. You could sip through his straw would be his wick. Like, it was perfect. Maybe they listen to this podcast. Maybe they'll do it. You know,
it's really cumbersome though. But you know, I thought maybe, you know, I didn't really doubt it. Because it might just have one of those like lanyard neck things, and then you carry your drink around your neck, and
like one does, sure.
Yeah, you're at a theme park. Nothing is designed for comfort or convenience.
Yep, and you need booze the whole time. But what was it? What did it end up being again?
He sent me another. He tweeted at me. He like tagged me in the tweet to be like, actually, I checked again. It looks like it's got little cookies inside, and I looked, and it looks like it's probably little mini senbei. But,
he being friend of the show, Miguel Cortez. What's his, Miguel's last name from Capcom? Thank you, Miguel. He had like a really cool thread on Super Nintendo World with a whole bunch of pictures. And yeah, that was cool. I guess he's already back, which is crazy. And that opens today as we're recording this, actually, officially. State of emergency lifting for lots of parts of Japan on Sunday, but I guess they have some distancing thing and whatever, but I think you're going to see a lot more stuff very soon on social media about that kind of stuff. Somebody else you're going to be seeing a lot more of soon on social media. He's sitting on gold, Jerry. Intelligent Gaming Fusing Gold. That's John Ricciardi.
Hi. Okay, sure.
All those old issues of Intelligent gamer that you didn't know, or
I didn't know they were rare.
Highly sought after. I didn't either.
I had actually totally forgotten. So Frank mentioned, Frank Sfaldi, friend of the show, who runs the Video Game Foundation.
Org.
Something like that. Yeah. Sorry if I'm messing up the name. He had actually, I forgot that I sent him an issue like a couple years back. He was looking for it and I happened to have one and I just gave it to him and he mentioned that and I was like, oh yeah, I guess I did. That magazine, that was the first magazine I worked on like as a full-time job. And it was a weird magazine with a weird history. It like had changed names 3 times. It started out as Electronic Games with, it was a famous editor, Arnie Katz and Joyce Worley. Remember those names?
Bill. I didn't know. I did not know until recently that was the first print magazine that I wrote for was from when you were there. I did not know that magazine was the one that passed down to that. I remember that it was Fusion, like Intelligent Gamers Fusion or whatever, right. And then it just became Intelligent Gamer. I remember that whole transition, but I did not know that that's descended from the Arnie Katz.
Essentially all the same line. It was like Electronic Games, then it became Fusion, and then it was Intelligent Gamer, right. Fusion, and then it was Intelligent Gamer. All as like this. That was all right before Ziff Davis bought Sendai, which was the publisher of those magazines and EGM. And
right,
It's actually been so long now that I don't even remember the specific details, but I think the idea was like we got really lucky that they bought Intelligent Gamer, which was just it was a really good online site for news and stuff. That was essentially like
it was the best for a hot minute there
for a while. Yeah, it was like the best place to go at the time, and then they bought it. And I think one of the reasons they bought it was probably just to sort of like make their portfolio, like diversify the portfolio a little bit to like even better to Ziff. Right?
I thought that they bought it because of a lawsuit was the thing that I had heard, that there was a lawsuit that EGM had printed something without permission, like a mock-up that they made. I was wondering if you would remember what that was of, because I'm sure it was something hilarious, like the Sega Neptune or some like super dated reference, but that there was something that EGM took, like it would sometimes before we were there, without asking or going through the legal trouble of checking it out, and then just reprinted thinking that it was just out there, and it was actually something that Intelligent Gamer had created originally.
You are really digging deep there, and like the story sounds familiar. I really honestly, and I'm not just saying this to like cover, I don't remember if that's true or not.
We'll figure it out.
It certainly wasn't something that would have been common knowledge even among like us. Like
no, it was very hush hush, and I think it was all. I think it was just like the thing that put it over the top. I think it was like we're looking to do something with this magazine that's floundering or whatever. Right. But like Intelligent Gamer was weird because it was kind of doomed. I mean, it seemed like pretty clearly doomed from early on, like that they were just going to run out some issues or whatever and then fold you guys into EGM.
That was what some people there thought. Yeah. And like for me, it was just like, well, I would just happen to be in the right place at the right time. And it was like an opportunity to get into the company that produces EGM,
yeah.
So like, of course, and I was like literally 20 years old. I wasn't even old enough to drink. And I was just like, okay, I'm going to do this. And like, I got up and moved across town and like, yeah, it was around for
across the country.
Well, yeah, moved across the country. I moved from New York to Chicago. It was 9 issues I think we had in total, if you count the Fusion ones. And like, I was editor in chief, like the last 3, because the editor, Jer had like left the company. I don't remember the details of that either. I think he had like a spat or a falling out with the owners or something. And I ended up like, I was like 20 and I was like running the last issues of this magazine. So,
yep.
It was weird.
Pretty good magazine. I mean, it wasn't a bad magazine though. It had some good stuff. I mean, we were part of it. So of course, it had some good stuff, but yeah, I mean, it didn't have the resources and it was wafer thin. That's for sure. But
yeah. I brought my like enthusiasm or fandom or whatever you want to call it for Japanese games to that. So I don't know if you can hear the noise in the background, but if you can, sorry, they're like suddenly doing construction next to me. I brought my like enthusiasm for Japanese games to that magazine. And I think that helped me sort of solidify my position later as like the Japan guy on EGM, they had kind of already known that I had like, because all I ever wanted to talk about or write about was Japanese games whenever I could. So
remember that back when their magazines and websites had to have a Japan Japan person, basically, because I was that person for OPM for a while.
That's right. Yep.
And Milky was that guy. And like, we know lots of people, not coincidentally, a lot of which are in Japan now.
That's right. That's right.
But yeah, so apparently those magazines are really rare and like hard to find. You literally can't, they're just not on eBay at all. And they had to get the last couple.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
We've been doing this podcast for over 10 years now. I'm sure I told the story at some point along the line, but it's fun to bring stuff like this back. And we don't have a lot to talk about today, so I'll get into it. But like one really nice memory of the original. So when that happened, when I got that job at Sendai, before Ziff had bought them, we were in the old building. You remember it? You were at the old building, right? For a little while?
For like 2 months.
In Lombard, which is like the original building that EGM had grown up in. And in the basement of that building was this crazy, literally in the basement, was this like crazy room with like giant, like, do you remember the room with all the magazines? Like giant cages. It had like these like super, like you couldn't get in unless you had a key or you were to climb over the cage. But it had basically all the back issues that they had not had extra copies of on shelves behind cages. Right. And I remember someday I was down there and the cage was open and I got like mint copies of like the first like 20 issues of EGM. Like we basically just, I mean, I don't even think we were actually doing anything wrong. We were going to move and they had to get rid of a lot of shit anyway, but like I have perfect condition issues of like all these old magazines that are probably worth a lot of money now, like just because of the condition they're in.
Yeah. I did that at the new office. I did that before. At some point I went through and like, I don't have issue 4 or 6 or like a good condition of this one. So not a ton to touch on in terms of new games, but
I played old games.
Yeah, I've been playing the crap out of games that I'm working on, which I think probably all of us have. But Gabe, you did play Bravely Default 2.
Yes,
quite a bit. So let's talk about that. Let's dive in before we go into news.
Yes. So I'm about 10 hours in Bravely Default. I got into the series because of this very here podcast many years ago.
Cha-ching! 8-4 bump.
Cha-ching! The 8-4 bump is real.
Donate to our Patreon.
It is still Bravely Default or Bravely Second, which was their sequel. So this is the third one, not called Bravely Thrice. It is more of that game, right? They still have the same battle turn system of braving to spend a point and defaulting to bank one. Still has a ton of jobs.
Don't just assume people know that. Can you just real quickly explain that, like
the Bravely Default
name?
So in a JRPG, you have your menus of choices that you can do. In Bravely Default, there are two additional options. One is called Brave, where you are almost borrowing a turn, your next turn, to use right now. So you can attack the opponent, and then if you brave, you can then attack that opponent again, or you can use a magic, you can use an item, but you can't, like, you are using it now. So when your turn comes up after you've spent that extra one, it skips you because you already took that turn. Conversely, right. There's no defense command because there is default, which is you go into a defensive pose and you, because you're not doing anything except defending, they'll award you an extra turn point that you can then spend. So a lot of that game is managing that resource on top of your HP and your MP.
When you default, does it raise your defense stat or anything like that?
Yes.
And when you brave, it raises your, presumably there's some other benefit and penalty to it.
Yeah, so it's one of those games where, like, if you, and the game even warns you at the very beginning of just like, hey, don't like brave at the start of the battle and use all of your abilities at once, because you may not defeat all the enemies on the screen and you're going to get punched in the face for 4 turns and it's going to hurt. And they're true, because that's usually how I will fight the like overworld mobs and all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a couple of close calls that I did not expect because I did some bad math. And ended up having to wait for my turn to come back.
Gabe, that was a pretty good, concise explanation of Bravely and Default. Cause the way you started out, you were like, in JRPGs, I think you're going to like start with the history of JR, like Hironobu Sakaguchi in 1987.
So you have attack, and here's what attack does. So start with D&D. Yeah.
So it is, if you ever played the 3DS, games, a lot of stuff will be familiar. In terms of that, they have the overworld. The one of the bigger changes is no random battles anymore.
Oh, that is a big change.
Overworld enemies, I think like Chrono Cross had that, where if you run into them, then that triggers the battle. So even in the world map, like everywhere, you can see the enemies. If you're overleveled, the enemies will run away from you. And even the game tells you, hey, you're overleveled. It's honestly not worth attacking those guys. Mm-hmm. And conversely, it's like if they're coming at you, you might not be you might want to run away. It's harder than I thought it would be. A lot of people say that this game is very grindy, and in Bravely Default and Bravely Second, I didn't have that issue because I never ran away from a battle. So I was always appropriately leveled. My jobs were always fine. Like, I never skipped a battle unless I was going to die and get a game over. Here, I'm doing the same thing, but like when I get to boss fights, it's painful. And there is quite a bit of depth in the sort of job system or class system where you want to actually like have a proper distribution of roles and stuff to deal with it. But like, that's not how I play Bravely Default.
Job system, class system, the same as in previous games? And are there many significant new jobs or classes, or just more that's mostly this unchanged?
So not everything has been familiar for me. Bard is new to me, but I have not even gotten through half because they have the list on the menu. So it is you have your primary job, and that's where your stats and stuff are based on, and then you can pick a secondary job to have those like abilities as well. I always max out freelancer first, which is the starter job, because they have the JP up abilities to make the grinding even less grindy. So
yeah,
always
max it out. I wanted to ask about that.
JP
so
up
is the job points. So it sounds like Final Fantasy V, where like once you master an ability, you keep it across jobs. Is that the idea?
So they have two sets of abilities. There are the like abilities you will use in the combat. Think of Black Mage Fire.
Active and passive, basically.
Yeah, and you can equip passive abilities, and that you can have regardless. Like, that is a separate slot. So, like, Black Mage has a... You will regain MP if you're fighting at night after your turn. I can have that on any job as long as it's equipped to the character.
But you can't take Black Mage's Fire and just put it on anyone.
You can if you set it as the secondary job.
Oh, so you have, like, two jobs going at once, and the second job's... Main abilities or whatever can be used.
Yes. So your primary job is where you get your stats, your weapon proficiencies, and all that stuff. And then the secondary job is an extra set of actions. I barely scratched the surface. There are plenty of synergies and stuff that you can do in both a team of four, in addition to each one having a primary and a secondary. One of my favorite things about Bravely Default 1 that I hope we'll be able to do is you could actually, there was like an infinite money trick where there was a job where you could just generate money in a battle. And if you customize your characters in a certain way, you could just have the battle never end and give yourself infinite PG gil in this game. And I did that, like I went to work, I put my 3DS right next to me, let that go, collected my money at lunch, put it back, did it again. I did it for like 2 or 3 days and I didn't have to worry about money because this game... I really have to like budget.
If only the real world were so easy.
Yeah. That said, story wise, it seems pretty. It's very Final Fantasy. The previous two weren't. Like, now they're straight up called Warriors of Light, and I was like, really? We're doing that?
Yeah.
Like, they've always had the crystal motifs and stuff like that, but now straight up, like, no, you're a Warrior of Light, and I'm like, all right, okay.
I have a potentially stupid question.
No such thing.
Wait, hear me out. So we got Bravely Default, we got Bravely Second, and then we have Bravely Default 2.
Yes.
I guess that's not a question. I'm done.
Okay.
Good old Square names.
Yeah. I don't know. If they're really going sort of that Final Fantasy route, then you could argue that like Bravely Second is Bravely Default 10.5, whatever they do with Final Fantasy 10.
Yeah,
like Final Fantasy 10, Final Fantasy 10 2, Bravely Default, Bravely Default 2nd, and then it's Bravely Default 2. I'm only 10 hours into the story, so I have no idea if it actually is all connected and anything like that.
So Bravely Default 2 is not a direct sequel to Bravely Default?
As far as we know.
As far as I know, so far.
Yo, this makes me fucking mad.
And the four warriors and stuff, I mean, so before Bravely Default, I don't know if you remember, there was that Final Fantasy DS game. I think it was called, like, Four Heroes of Light or something. And that was essentially the predecessor to Bravely Default. So, like, I think it has always had this sort of, like, we are sort of the not Final Fantasy sort of, I don't want to say budget, yeah, because it's not a budget game, but it's sort of like the side version of Final Fantasy, like, mm-hmm, alternate universe Final Fantasy thing going on or whatever. But
yeah, and one of my favorite things about it right now is, so in Bravely Default 1 and 2 for the 3DS, the way it used the Street Pass system is you were rebuilding a village and it was like a check-in game. So, mm-hmm, you had the village and then your Street Pass people you pass by, you could add to constructing buildings and stuff. They don't have that here in this game. They have a what's called an exploration mode, where you set off on a voyage, and then when you put your 3DS to sleep, your character will go on a voyage while you're not there, and you'll come back when you load in, and you'll have done stuff, most of which you'll just be getting items, where it's like, you'll get money, you'll get experience points, and you'll get job points. Mm. So it's like, I will check in before going to bed, and when I wake up in the morning, just like, oh man, not playing this game is fantastic. Look at all these JP orbs. Look at all this experience I'm getting. This is great.
Do you get more the longer you go without playing?
Yeah, I was going to ask the same thing.
So I'm not sure I understand. Could you elaborate?
Like, if you close the 3DS for, say, an hour, well, you get the same amount as if you closed it for a week.
So it caps at 12 hours of exploration.
Okay.
So,
wow. So it actually kind of is encouraging you to not play it, like, to, yes, put it down for the longest period of time possible.
I really don't mind not playing this game because
I like that.
It's interesting. I mean, it makes sense, right? It's the only way it really makes sense.
Yeah, and I've mastered two characters' jobs because of it. Because it's just like, I don't have time to play.
How did Monster Hunter do it with that similar system when you sent out the felines? Was that based on time? I don't remember at all.
Quests, right?
I think, yeah, it was number of quests you cleared.
No, but I mean, it was number of quests you cleared. Okay, yeah. That's how it, yeah, okay. So what's your overall, like, so far assessment of it? Are you, like, into it as much more, not as much as the other games? Or, like, where do you, it's totally 10 hours in, but, like,
yeah,
how are you liking it so far?
I'm liking it. It has not gripped me yet, but okay, usually I recall it took a while for Bravely Default 1 to click. Mm. Bravely Second, I was in it from the beginning because I love Bravely Default 1. But because of the new setting and stuff, there's a lot of buildup and stuff. This is the first game I've played where I've actually started recognizing the voice actors, the Japanese voice actors.
Like, oh, wow.
Princess Zelda. I forgot to write down their names. Princess Zelda is one of the main characters. Kale from Dragon Ball Super is one of the characters, and the voice actor of Kazuma Kiryu is one of the characters, is one of the antagonists, and it was totally like, I know this voice, what's going on? Oh shoot, that's Kiryu! Oh yeah, man! Which has been delightful for me.
Nobody from NSYNC, huh?
No, they couldn't get Joey Fatone. He's just too busy, yeah.
Everybody, yeah.
But you'll remember
that NSYNC song. okay, right on. Well, actually, one more game that I did want to check in. I just saw it on a list here, Roy. We haven't talked with you much, and I'm very curious. You have this Don't Starve Together new farming update. I'm very curious. Like, that game is just like kind of a phenom and keeps going. You don't see people talk or hear people talk about it too much, but I am kind of curious what is going on these days in that game. So, like, you want to talk about that?
They do constantly keep adding to it and updating it, and often with really, like, complicated systems. Like, this gardening one is a great example of that. And I think before this, we had Graham on after he had played it a bit, and I think right around then they had added like a seafaring patch, where it's like,
yeah, what was the name of that one? I think Cappy did that one for them. That was like Don't Starve. What the hell? It had like a maritime. They put out a trailer, and that was in like a State of Play or something. Do you remember that, John?
What
that
I was do? Called? I totally remember, but
I'll find it while we talk about it. But yeah, but that was like, oh my god, this is a big. That's like a non-trivial, you know, update. I mean, it's like almost like an expansion. More than just it's kind of like what No Man's Sky is doing, right? They're adding stuff that's like pretty significant.
Yeah, totally. So a while back they had added this gardening update too, which, like, I love games where it's like I can garden, like, just give me some dirt and some seeds and, like, make it be worth my while to invest time.
Hey, you and a lot of people, man. Yeah. It's a big fucking shipwrecked. Okay, that's the name of it. But yeah, man, the whole Harvest Moon lineage filtered down through now Starview Valley. And, like, what's the Of Rice and Ruin game? We've never talked about on this show, but, like, is a huge smash hit game. Do you guys know the one I'm talking about? I want to say Setsuna of Rice and...
Yeah, I know which
one you're talking about. Japanese indie game. It's like the biggest Japanese indie game of the last, like, 5 years.
Sakuna, you mean, right?
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like half of it is like a rice farming sim, basically. But are you playing Don't Starve Together alone, Roy, or are you playing it with...
Together. I was playing it with Sarah. Okay. And then this weekend I have plans to play with some friends back home. We used to play, like, before I came here, like, we would like all team up and have our little base and
and
try not to die together. It's great. So we're going to try to do that this weekend. And I'm going to try to learn more about this gardening system because it's really complex. And, like, everything in Don't Starve is not only complex, but generally has, like, a dark twist to it. So, for instance, in this gardening system, there's certain things that you have to do for your plants or else they get stressed. They build up like a certain amount of stress over time. And the more stress they accumulate, the less they produce. And also, as I learned, if you get them too stressed, then when you go to pick them, like a monster appears and it attacks you. These vines form around you and they do damage to you, which is like... When you're trying not to starve, that's not what you want your food doing to you. So,
yeah,
I was doing a little bit of researching, which I love. I love when there's like a new feature in one of my Roy games.
Yeah,
and I'm like, okay, I'm doing something wrong if this pumpkin is biting me. So, like, let me figure out what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
So the factors that stress out a plant are like if you plant it in the wrong season, if you don't talk to it. Talking to plants is one of the ways that you help them when they're like sprouts.
Is there dialogue?
There is, but it's kind of just the same two or three lines over and over again.
What is it? What are you saying?
Like it's dependent on the character. There's like a dozen or so different characters and they'll have some lines that they say.
Like what? Like, oh, hey there, little guy. Or like what?
Well, so I play Abigail, who's like this goth little girl whose sister is a ghost that fights for her.
Sure.
And she just says something very morose, like, oh, go on, grow if you must, or something like that.
Okay.
It's not, right.
I see. That's kind of fun. Little character building.
Oh, and another fun tidbit, I thought this was interesting when I was researching it, but there's one character who's like basically the hard mode of Don't Starve. He's a mime. And because he's a mime, he can't talk to the plants.
Oh my god!
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's very clever.
Don't Starve has an ending though, right? Like there is like a narrative. I thought I saw a speedrun or something and it was wild. And it like the narrative, I remember bits of it, but I don't want to say, but I was surprised at how much of a story it has. Have you ever gone down that path?
I haven't. I really just like the team version where it's like, I'm like, okay, I'm going to chop wood. You go get some stone. Sarah really likes exploring like the most dangerous parts of the map. So we usually send her out there and she comes back with like meat and weapons.
Yeah, there's an adventure. There's like an adventure mode, I think, in those games. We worked on some of the Japanese ones back in the day, I remember.
Oh, but yeah,
like an adventure mode. And that those have endings, yeah. But I think that's probably Roy's playing like the more like the actual, you know, like survival, whatever experience like with other people.
It's like a separate mode or something?
Yeah, there's Don't Starve, which is just the game with, I think, the story. And Don't Starve Together, I think, is just like the get together with people. Yeah, multiplayer. Yeah.
Mark, before we jump to news, I wanted to talk about this briefly because it'll probably never be on my mind again. But did you, any of you, I guess, ever play Inside when it came out?
Yep.
You did? Nope. Did you finish it? Or
I did not for no good reason. I really liked it. And I think something else came along that I had to play. And I know it's not that long of a game.
Right. Yeah, 5 or 6.
But I loved it, and in fact, I reference it all the time in, like, when we're talking about games and certain mechanics, like telling a story without dialogue, yeah. And like explaining mechanics within the game, and like just not explicit right. tutorializing stuff, and like I use it all the time. As an example, I don't know why I didn't finish it though, but you guys just played through it recently, right?
I played through both Limbo and Inside this weekend. Yeah, like
Limbo, I did finish. Limbo, I played a long time ago, but yeah.
I was trying, like we played through like Little Nightmares and Little Nightmares 2. I didn't play, Noah played and I watched, but I like was, you know, I think that got me into like that sort of genre, I guess, if you want to call it that. Like, of,
it's
like,
definitely the same type of
horror
game,
yeah. Adventure games that are puzzle based, but not like, I mean, Limbo and Inside are really just like, there's like a couple, like two things you can do, but you, besides like moving and jumping and stuff, it's not like there's a lot of mechanics and stuff.
But it's
like,
amazing what they do with those two things and like the puzzles that they come up with. Like,
totally. Like, I bounced off Limbo. Limbo's what, like 10 years old now or something? Whenever it first came out, I didn't play it for more than an hour, and I was like, yeah, whatever. I don't know if my taste changed or I just didn't give it enough time back then, but I totally loved it. And Inside was like, twice as good. It was like Inside was like just perfectly enjoyable from start to finish. And now, like, I feel like I've discovered this new genre that I didn't realize I really like, and I want more games like it. And I was just kind of wanting to talk about it because, like, it's not timely, it's for sure. They're old games now, but now that I played them,
Little Nightmares 2.
That's true. And that game is just gorgeous, man. It is so pretty. Just like unbelievably nice graphics, like it's more than you'd expect for a game like that.
Little Nightmares 2 is that's new and selling very well apparently, but there's not just that many games in that genre. I'm guessing they're really freaking hard to make. Like Playdead, you know, it's a long time between their games, but man, when they come out, it's so freaking polished, and they do this magical thing with their puzzles where once you are able to complete it, you're like, oh, like you never hate the game for it. You're like, I totally, that's either really smart and like a really cool, clever thing, or like, oh, I should have totally gotten that earlier.
Totally. And the thing about the storytelling too, it is true. Like I don't think there's literally any dialogue in either of those games, like at all.
I don't think so. Yeah.
But I will also say that, like, they tell the story in a very, like, hands-off way, but then they also don't really give you a satisfying conclusion. They kind of leave it up to you to decide what happened in those games.
Right. So,
maybe I don't love that part. Like, I would like a little more of, like, I don't need it all spelled out for me, but it's left so open. Like, Limbo, especially, I'll talk about that because it's older, but, like, Limbo's left so wide open at the end that, like, you can guess what happened, but they never.
I don't even remember. Why don't you go ahead and spoil it? Because I played it. I think you're right. I think it was exactly. It was almost exactly 10 years ago, that game.
Yeah. But, is it okay? Are we good with this? Limbo. Okay. Limbo.
You guys all right?
Ending spoiler. But like, he gets to like, you don't even know what you're doing in that game, first of all. But then you realize when you get to the last screen that he was searching for, apparently, like his sister. And he finds her. And then that's it. It just ends.
Dead or something?
Well, we don't know because she's like over on the other side of the screen, and like, you know, and then it just goes.
Okay,
away.
You don't
then,
touch her. Okay,
and then apparently,
it's his sister, and not like
even that. Like, I didn't know in the game, but I kind of had a sense. But then that part, at least, they have said officially that it's your sister. But like,
I see
there's also like. Like a hidden ending that's incredibly difficult to get. Like, you would never, no normal person would get it without looking up stuff. Like, you have to find these, like,
really?
Items. Both
I don't think I knew that.
Inside has this, too. And in Inside, especially, I won't spoil Inside, but the hidden ending is apparently quite different. And so, but I mean, I looked it up. I was like, what do you have to do? And it's like, okay, no universe. Like, there could be 50 million
different.
You didn't
just watch it on YouTube?
I would have never. Not yet, because there's still a small chance I might. I'd be willing to just...
Wait, you just got done. Never in a million fucking years. Well, I might.
No. Never in a million years would I have figured it out on my own. But I'm not necessarily opposed to like looking up what to do and then just doing it and experiencing. You know what I mean? But
Got it. Okay.
But anyway.
Well, yes, those games... The world needs more games like those games. That's for sure. Those are awesome. But I have not played either Little Nightmares game, but are they, so they're similar? Like, talk about Little Nightmares 2 maybe real briefly.
Similar, but there's, I feel like there's more going on. So I watched most of that, but I also, like, I didn't want to interrupt Noah while she was playing, so I didn't like you know, really ask her what's going on and stuff. And so, like, I couldn't tell you exactly everything that's happening, but there's obviously more things to do than simply moving and jumping, I guess, you know. You're like, for example, Little Nightmares 2, there's another character that you're guiding around with you, almost like Eco style, and the puzzles are involved with the both characters and stuff like that. Yeah. But I mean, it's generally similar. There's a lot more, I feel like, being chased in Little Nightmares. Like, every time I turned to look at what was going on, something or someone was chasing her, you know. Like, there's a lot more of the, like, sort of frantic horror, whereas with Limbo and Inside, it's more just like puzzle solving and less of like constantly feeling like stressed out that something's going to happen to you. But right. I think because of this, now I am actually going to go back and play them myself too. I'm going to start with the first one and then play the second one and just go through them maybe this next weekend. So yeah, I need more of these games. I'm into it.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of interesting that they all have that style of game, but they're all kind of this dark. I don't know. Yeah. Well, Little Nightmares maybe more explicitly horror, but
yeah.
I mean, I guess they all that, but the Playdead games are too. But it's interesting that there's not more different themed games of that type, I guess.
Right. Maybe fear is or the unknown or something is a driving element. I don't know. Maybe someone tried to make it and it didn't work out. I really want to know what they're making next. I know they're. Didn't Epic announce that Playdead's like they're publishing Playdead's next game or something? So like, I wasn't paying attention before, but now I'm super like excited to see what those guys
do. Yeah.
So
yeah, those guys are super talented and they take their time.
Yeah.
And do it right, just like we here on the 84 Play podcast with our news, Gabe.
That's right, everybody.
No
news, everybody.
News. DMCA takedown news. Nope, they haven't found it to podcast yet. Somehow we're still okay. Sing that shit to your heart's content. That of course being the seminal 1998 NSYNC hit.
Gosh damn it,
Backstreet's Back.
God damn it, Mark.
Lots hurt of my soul. Inside jokes. So yes, news. Kicking off with this because I just pasted it in there. Play at home, free stuff, people. Free stuff, play at home games. So yes, we talked about this before Sony announced that they were doing this again, just basically giving away games for free, not PS Plus, not anything, no purchase necessary, I guess, other than having a PS4 to play it on. But Ratchet and Clank, they kicked it off with that and said more games will be announced soon. You can still get Ratchet and Clank through the end of this month, March 31st. But then there's a next big drop, which happens March 25th. And starting with that, here we go.
Good games in
let's
there.
Let's see. Hell yeah, there are. Let's Abzu? See. Abzu.
Yeah.
Which I'm actually curious to play. A lot of these are like on my list. Enter the Gungeon, which I started to play on Game Pass when we were doing Tetris, just to like try out downloading games and trying things, and I kind of got into that game. That game's really fun. A little game called Res Infinite. Maybe you've heard of it.
Nope.
PlayStation VR game of the year 20. What year was that? 16.
I don't even know.
2016 Keeley Award winning VR game. So yeah, play that in VR. You don't have to play in VR. You can play it in 2D too. There's some more VR games though.
So what's the deal though? That cool. You just get the game for free as long as you download it in the window. Is that the idea? And you keep it forever.
That's it. You got it.
That's awesome. Yeah.
It's free. It's free. Yep. It's free. Free.
Subnautica, The Witness, which I think has been on PS Plus game before, but Astrobot Rescue Mission. Here come the VR games. Astrobot Rescue Mission, Moss, Thumper, Paper Beast. Like, those are fucking heavy hitters, including actually Paper Beast, which I'm really happy about because I was just about to buy that. That's Eric Chahi's game. I think Jake talked about that maybe last podcast or two podcasts ago. Eric Chahi of Another World and basically of Another World fame. Those are available until April 22nd, so you've got almost a month to download those, so you have no excuse.
Nice.
Not to check those out. Tell us what you think of Res for sure. I'm really, really, we're really excited for more people to get to play that game. I think there's a lot of people who will enjoy it that wouldn't otherwise spend even, you know, like $10 on it when it's on sale, but that they try it. Hopefully they'll like it.
Word.
Then there's some other shit. This like Funimation Wakanim, which I've never heard of before. That's the name of it in different regions. But
oh, you're kidding.
Oh, is that their streaming service?
Yeah, it's an anime subscription service. It's Kimetsu no Yaiba, I guess, in the foreign markets. But you get a free trial of that as part of this. And then Horizon, coming April 19th, is Horizon Zero Dawn Complete Edition.
Ooh.
So that's kind of the next month thing, April 19th through the 14th. And they're going to have more, I guess, probably coming in that batch whenever that happens. So, yeah, like, good on Sony. Like, this is a really pretty amazing thing they're doing to not even tie it to PS Plus.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Have they? I mean, I guess they haven't really explained. Is the idea to, like, try and, I don't know, get non-PS Plus
they did it once, to understand no. the... No. They did it once before. It's really just like, hey, COVID is happening and people should stay at home. So here's a bunch of stuff to encourage you to do that. So it's kind of
That's what the play at home. I was kind of wondering what the play. Okay. They didn't really explain that well, or at least not on their Twitter.
They did the first time. Now they're like, hey, we're doing it again. And they assume everybody heard it the first time. But
my response to that tweet was like, play at home. Like, where else am I going to play? That's where I always play. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't even think of that.
They're like, fuck you, xCloud. We're not playing fucking running about on your cell phone like a losers. You play it at home.
Where you belong.
Yeah.
Word.
I see.
Super Got that NSYNC tude, Gabe, to you.
That's right. Apostrophe tude.
Super Nintendo World, we talked about the Japanese one opening this year. However, the Orlando Super Nintendo World, part of the Universal theme park happening there, which was slated to open in 2023. Now it's going to be early 2025. According to, we talk about them every fucking episode on this podcast, but Orange County Mayor Jerry Demings. I wish that guy would shut up. He's so controversial in this industry. Can never walk two steps without hearing from a good old JD. Epic Universe, I guess, is the name of their Orlando park, which seems weird, but okay, sure, Universal, you do you. Like, yeah. What do you got? Like, they got the Mummy and like Frankenstein. I don't know, what does fucking Universal have? Like,
are you Predator, talking shit maybe? About the Mummy?
Back to the Future.
Huh?
Are you talking shit about the Mummy?
The Mummy, the like 1930s Mummy, or the Mummy like the Brendan?
I mean, Fraser. I'll throw hands Brendan for either Fraser. One.
Okay,
like Brendan Fraser.
The answer is yes. I'm talking shit about both of them.
How dare you?
I'm talking shit about the whole idea of mummies in general, Egyptian mummies, all mummies.
So you got a problem with the entire country of Egypt and their history, is what you're saying?
And all of it. I throw it all into right.
You don't
up
like
until,
the idea of pulling someone's brain out their nostrils and sticking it in a jar for all eternity?
That's mummist.
Yeah. I'm,
what's
I'm
not cool right? It.
Mark's a mummist.
Up until it leads to the Brendan Fraser movie, that's where I start to have a problem with it.
Rude.
And anybody who thinks that like the like is Universal, right? Who has those like Universal movie monsters or whatever?
I think
they tried to do that.
Yeah, because when Marvel was having its thing, it's like, oh, you know what? Check it out. Fucking bam! Frankenstein! Wolfman! Whoa! It's like,
the
guys,
Wolf of London.
What the fuck? This is nothing. No one gives a fuck about Wolfman. The Mummy. Like, the Mummy can't carry his own fucking universe and then, like, team up for, like, a Monster Squad fucking...
Mark,
movie later on.
There's a guy named Gilman. Did you know about that? The creature, that's like the creature from the Black Lagoon.
Oh, called, that fucking guy,
Gilman. Yeah,
and he's part of like the Universal like monster universe or whatever.
I didn't
know
he had a name. Yeah. He was always just the creature from the Black Lagoon.
That's his real name,
Gil. Gil
is Gil.
Gil. His friends call him Gil.
Gil brought this wall from home.
His friends in the lagoon. His friends back in the lagoon.
Big L. Apex Legends Season 8, Roy. How excited.
Me too. I'm finally in.
You are?
Yeah, I jumped in for the first time. I saw the Switch version came out last
week. I heard it's
week.
Not good. It did not it get reviewed not, well at
it,
all.
It is. I'm glad it works. It is very jaggy and very like washed out in terms of like texture mm-hmm. resolution and stuff.
But didn't we know that? Didn't we know? I mean, is it that much worse than other first person shooters on
yes.
the Switch?
Oh, because even with that, I got massive frame drops, which in one occasion actually worked to my advantage. But okay. on other occasions did not. But yeah, playing it on the Switch made me go, wait, I have a PlayStation 5. What am I doing here?
What the fuck am I doing?
And then I lost most of last weekend playing Apex Legends for the first time, pretty much.
Oh okay. Yeah. Roy, what about you? You've been playing it lately, you know?
Oh yeah, I play it pretty much every day.
Wow.
You got a squad.
Yeah. Bro. Yeah, we really Damn. Should play together. I've been yeah. playing kind of like, I've been doing ranked, so I've just been trying to see how the algorithm is at placing with people. Hmm. It's been pretty good. I've been trying to get better at the game. Like I've been like watching videos on how to shoot wow. people better. Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely had the like matchmaking thing where like the first 2 hours I was consistently top two or three with my squad and then like hit a very low 6 hour block where I just kept dying very fast as they were like, oh, we should put you up here.
So I'm curious, like I have very little experience before Apex with like other first person shooters. So I feel like I have a lot of like backlog of like research to do as far as like the strategies and everything. What is your background with first person shooters, Gabe?
I mean, I think Medal of Honor Allied Assault for the PC was the first one I sat down and actually played.
So I don't know what that is. I guess maybe
you asked my history. I'm like, no, I mean, like, that's when it started.
Well, so I don't know the game. So I don't know when that came out. I don't know how long ago that was. Like, what are we talking
like 2001?
Backstreet Boys era.
Yeah, actually, okay. That was there was definitely some God, NSYNC in that sandwiched in there. Probably the end of it. End of my NSYNC thing.
You keep bristling when we bring up the Backstreet Boys. Or were you like? Somehow, was that like a Coke and Pepsi thing where you were like, excuse me, no, I like NSYNC, not Backstreet Boys, and that's Backstreet Boys.
So in school, no, I wasn't. You just keep poking me, and it keeps just going.
I don't know what you're talking about. All right, Gabe, we're trying to talk about Apex Legends. If you'd stop talking about your 90s boy bands for
okay
10 seconds.
Yeah, no, it's like I've been playing first-person shooters on and off for a long time. I think I played a crap ton of Enemy Territory when they released that for free on PC. If any of you guys remember that, the Wolfenstein Enemy Territory.
That one.
Oh yeah. Yep.
Yeah. That was
speaking really of that. Which Go game, yep. speaking Hello. Of Xbox.
Yeah.
That was an Xbox game.
Was it? Cause I played it on PC.
Well, it was also on Xbox. And you know what else is also on PC and Xbox? That's a lot of Bethesda games.
Yes.
Yes, this is like counterpunch to Sony's kind of free games. You do need to be a Game Pass subscriber for these games, but they dropped a dump of games on Game Pass. Are they listed here somewhere? I could just look at the pictures
they should
and tell
be
you.
Down below.
Whoa, deja vu. Massive deja vu.
What happens next?
I talk about Evil Within for like 5 minutes.
No,
it's on here.
It is. Yeah. That.
Turn back.
Too late.
Hello.
It happens. It's fate. It's already Punch happened. Out. It's already happened.
Actually, Mark. Even more important than this. Just look. Hold on. Just pause. I'm going to let you continue. But I'm looking at it too, and I saw Oblivion there. Probably the only chance we're going to get to talk for 2 seconds. Did you watch? You watched that Oblivion like live stream, right? Of like ESL videos.
Oh, dude, I watched it for I don't even know how many hours.
Where did that come from? It was amazing. So somebody made like a live stream of probably like 1980s ESL videos of mostly this one guy. And occasionally he had like side characters.
It was from the 80s. They found the actual series.
Oh, you're kidding.
From that.
Oh, I didn't hear about
this.
No,
they did. Yeah, yeah.
So it was live streamed and it was essentially like, you know, Oblivion had kind of like bad voice acting and people tended to the NPCs talk slow and stuff. So it was these ESL videos, but then they put the Oblivion UI over the screen and subtitles in the Oblivion font. And basically,
subtitles in the Oblivion font is really what sells it, because I think it's less the bad voice acting and more the like
it's the music too. The
weird, yeah, the music,
sort of
the music
ambient
as well.
Oblivion music playing the entire time.
And he'd go into combat sometimes too, where he's like, he would be like
he fell.
Fixing a roof or something. And then he like picks up a shovel and it like still combat, it switches into combat music. But I think it was more just like the random ass things that he's doing. He's talking about making a sandwich. He's talking about like digging a hole. He's talking about like, it's the same guy doing all these things.
He goes shopping with his, I don't know, his wife or whatever.
Yeah.
And everything, I can't even mimic it, but like everything is spoken very slowly and clearly for non-English speaker. Like the whole thing is like that. So it's just awkward and bizarre and amazing. And it actually
turned it on really quickly. And the thing that I saw was him, like, you know, both arms engaged as though he's mid run, looking frightened, kind of talking to someone nearby saying, I don't know. It was two men. Yes. Yeah. I'm going to call the police. Goodbye. Yeah.
It's stunted and it's all in shot in first person. And there's a person talking to him that's like the person presumed with the camera from it's shot from their point of view. So and it's 80s and they have like the compass in there and everything. And
it was fantastic.
It's really fucking amazing. And like the commentary, the live commentary that people were doing as it was going on was almost better than it was almost the best thing about it. But
sorry for the diversion. See, no, this actually made me want to play Oblivion. Like I'm not even joking. Like I don't actually love Oblivion at all, but like I kind of wanted to go back and just like listen to the Oblivion music and like sit in the world after I saw that.
There's actually a subgenre of Oblivion NPC videos. If you Dorito that, that's not just that guy. It was actually kind of a thing before him, but they were live streaming it in his case.
Right.
Amazing. That was so good. Yeah. So let's see. You do have the list here, Gabe, of games. Yeah. Dishonored, Doom, the 1993 Doom, and like Doom 3, Doom 2, Doom 3, Doom 64, Doom Eternal. Yeah, down to Doom Eternal.
Bunch of Fallouts.
Morrowind, Elder Scrolls Online, Evil Within, I'll talk more about that in a second, Fallout 4, Fallout 76, Fallout New Vegas, Prey, Rage 2, Wolfenstein New Order, Wolfenstein Old Blood, Wolfenstein Young Blood.
Dishonored 2 also, the second Dishonored's in there as well, I think.
Just like, boom. And yeah, they mentioned a handful of the titles also benefit from a frame rate boost, which is kind of cool that they're doing that. It's for backwards compatible titles. Evil Within, I had maybe I mentioned it last episode. I've been watching a speed run of that game, and it's super fucking entertaining. Evil Within 2, still incredibly underrated. I think they're both underrated games. They're not perfect, but I'm really excited for more people to play Evil Within 1. It really is kind of like Resident Evil 4.5. The story is kind of out there.
All over the place, yeah.
It's all over it's a little all over the place, but man, the game, like, yeah, the game also just goes all over the place.
I just wasn't thinking about it. I mean, it makes total sense, but this was to me like an unexpected, really nice perk of them buying Bethesda is like now
all
their old stuff is on Game Pass and they're giving it the boosts and they're going to actually like take care of the back catalog. That's not nothing, especially when a lot of these games, no offense to, you know, Bethesda, but a lot of these games would like Skyrim launched with like bugs all over the place, you know, like they're known for launching in kind of messy shape, but now we're getting these like nice, you know, upgraded versions. And if you're on Game Pass, it's like Game Pass is getting strong, man. Like it real is. Strong.
I don't think anybody expected it to just happen this fast. You know, that it was like, oh yep, we signed, we made it official. Boom. Here's 20 games. Like,
yeah. I wonder how long you're working on it.
Really? Like you guys aren't dripping and drabbing and fucking around. You're just saying, yep, they're really part of Microsoft now. This is what we do with first party games here.
It's awesome.
So yeah, speaking of amazing games on Game Pass, another game got announced for Game Pass this week.
What could that be?
What could that be?
Are you referring to Undertale, Mark?
Octopath Traveler. Oh, no. Oh, yeah, Undertale 2.
Wait, Octopath Traveler?
Actually, yeah. I'm excited about
that. Yeah, actually, Octopath Traveler is also on there. But yeah, congrats. That's huge. So comes to Xbox and Game Pass day and date.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it came out last week, and the other day, earlier this week, I guess, Tuesday, Monday, something like that. Yeah, man,
with exclusive features, Xbox only, the power of X.
as all the Undertale ports do. That's right. The Switch version, yeah. The PS4 version also have a little bit of exclusive stuff. Yeah, man, this has been a long time in coming. I mean, we didn't really talk about this because there's no reason to, but like we were hoping to have this out like a year ago. It's been like, yeah. it's just, you know,
blame it on the pandemic.
There is that for sure. But there's just also a lot of other things. And, you know, we also like put some extra time into testing it because we wanted to make sure there were no problems because, you know, in the time since the last port came out, the engine for it has been completely, you know, upgraded and all this stuff. And so it's just nice to have it finally out there. And people seem to be responding to it really positively. People are excited about it. Yeah, it's cool. It's fun to make those trailers too. Every time we do a port, we work on a new trailer, and they're always a good time. So,
so you kind of have fun with the fact that this is, you know, version six?
It's the fifth five. Version, yeah. And like, and Toby started the trailer by writing like the game players have been mailing me about for 6 years, and it's true. Like I, you know, a couple times I would. As you know, if you launch a game, like what your biggest fear is that, maybe not with this game, but like with most games, your biggest fear is like that it's going to leak ahead of time. And so I was for months, you know, I would just search Twitter, like Undertale Xbox, just to see if like somebody, somebody scraped the system or something and figured something out.
Right.
And trophies. I wouldn't even say every day. I would say like every hour people were like tweeting at Microsoft asking for this game. Like it's just, there's always somebody like it's just like constantly.
Yeah. Low.
So it's funny that he opened the trailer with that, and I'm glad we were able to finally deliver it. So yeah, it's free on Game Pass, and it supports xCloud too. We haven't really messed with it yet because it's still in beta and it's not even available here in Japan. But you know, it's actually available for that too. So
yeah, Octopath does not support the cloud. What's up, Octopath? Doesn't no love for the cloud. Also coming in. March to Game Pass, Yakuza 6.
Yeah, man.
Song of Life. I didn't realize that was called the Song of Life. Narita Boy, which people noticed recently. What were you going to say?
That's all the Yakuza games now, right?
I think the whole except for 7. 7's not on Game Pass, but.
Oh, it's still not on Game Pass.
Yet. No, it's okay. Too new. But
the Kiryu Saga, completely on Game Pass.
That is true.
So Octopath hits next week, the 25th. Same with Yakuza 6. Let's see, Nier Automata hit today as we're recording this. Along Undertale was a couple days ago.
The Nier was already on it, but now the PC version is on it as well.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Yeah. There you go. Three games leaving the service. That happens to Hyperdot, Journey to the Savage Planet, and Machinarium.
They also announced the Square Enix game. What is it called? Outrun. That's not racing game. Sorry, there's too many Outer games, and that's their fault, not my fault. But they announced
not Outer Wilds. Oh no, you're talking about the other Outer. No, that's neither of those are Square games.
Square announced the game on Game Pass this week, and Outriders.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's a Square game. I forget that's a Square game.
There's
a people can fly shooter, right?
I think so. It looks good. Yeah. People are excited about it, but like, yeah, all of a sudden, I mean, Game Pass has been slowly growing, but like this week, it was like it's like three big announcement, you know, blasts in like 4 days or something. I mean, it's just getting amazing, and like it's really
well. I think last November is when it got amazing, right?
That's when I don't know what happened last
November. Connect came out on it. Since then, it's just kind of gravy. I mean, you've got your
it's been riding the coattails
to rule them all, pretty much. Yeah,
I think it's you can't ignore it now. Like if you are, you know, the value, you know, it's a value proposition, right? And you're paying. I don't even know what it costs. It's not cheap.
It's not cheap. But, well, if you're doing Ultimate, if you're doing Ultimate, it's not cheap like by itself when you take it, it's, you know, $20, but if you take it relative to what you're getting, it's a ridiculous deal.
I keep logging in and just seeing what games are on there, and literally every time I'm like, oops, add to library, add to order, like,
yep, play add, later. Add, yeah, go
yep.
EA Play PC is also coming to that came today, so that's like 60 games which are also available ones. Already available on the console. That was one of the games that I grabbed. Like
6-0,
yeah.
Holy shit, man.
Yeah. It's basically like the freaking EA Play catalog. Yeah, that's their whole fucking catalog.
Basic stuff.
Madden, Battlefield, fucking the Star Wars Fallen Order game, Squadrons.
Yep.
Blah blah blah.
None of the old. What I want is like old stuff, like the Origin, like the Ultima games and shit like that. I wish they would put stuff like that on the service.
You know what? This is saying Game Pass Ultimate costs $14.99. What the fuck? I swear to God, I'm getting billed $19.99. What did I do? Or that includes Xbox. Maybe that includes Xbox Live, along with it.
It's 1,000 yen in Japan.
That's no, it is cheaper in Japan. Yeah. Speaking of cloud streaming and Stadia's horrible failure, Jade Raymond started a new studio, Haven Entertainment, kind of interesting name.
You couldn't hear the comma in there, but I think there was a comma. He didn't say Stadia's horrible failure, Jade Raymond. it was like Stadia's horrible failure, comma, Jade Raymond, right?
Yeah. I did say speaking of as well, and we hadn't been talking about Jade Raymond.
Stadia's horrible failure, Jade Raymond. It's like, wait, no, that's not, that came out wrong.
Jade Raymond, comma, known terrible Stadia failure, comma, started something called Haven Entertainment. Montreal, just back in Montreal. Wish her the best. PlayStation communities, pour one out for the fucking 8-4 play PlayStation community.
Oh no, Gabe, is it gone?
It's about to be. Yeah, it's going away.
Yeah.
Oh man.
When? It doesn't say. From April, will no longer be supported on the PS4. Oh man.
That thing was active like the whole time, basically.
It was a shocking number of people actually on that. I feel bad. I only changed the topic like once every year.
3 years.
Or so.
I didn't even know there was a community I could have joined.
It's not too late. Get in there, Gabe, before it's too late.
We pimped it so heavily, and it's amazing.
I gotta get in.
I do wonder if they're gonna if that was like chalked up as a failure, or if they'll do anything on PS5, or like who is it harming? Is it costing that much money? Like, who cares?
I think there were moderation investments.
They're taking away all the cool features of PS4. There's no more themes. There's come on, like, put some of that shit back already.
The themes, yeah, man.
Getting rid of themes is like, makes no sense at all. They're like, there's no way that wasn't like a huge moneymaker for them. I mean, there's like a million themes on the shop, and some of them are freaking cool. I bought like probably like 5 to 10 themes over the course of the PS4 life. And I mean,
did you get hot buttered corn?
No, I don't.
I think that's one of the more popular PS4 themes. It's just a close up of butter melting on a corn cob, just like slowly rotating.
Sounds pretty good.
It's kind of magical. It's kind of hypnotic. Wow. We still get, I guess I can't say, but we still get how can I put this? Like a shit ton, way more than we should get, downloads of some of our Tetris Effect themes, which we spent a lot of time on and worked really hard on, and like are pretty damn good. It's not my work. It's what their faces. I'm totally blanking.
Pixel.
Truant Pixel.
Truant Pixel.
Who was like the gold standard in games.
Twisted Pixel. I think I was thinking like Twisted.
Yeah.
I was combining Twisted Sister with I can't.
Those guys did all the best themes and made it like even for Sony first party.
They did,
for Naughty Dog and stuff. Those guys are amazing.
They made our Undertale theme too, which was extremely popular.
Man, I hope that they bring something like that to PS5. I hope they do that on Switch. Like, why don't you do that? That is such an easy like layup.
Switch even has a theme thing. Like, since day one, has had a theme like thing in the settings, and your two options are black and white, and that's it. Like, it's just such a wasted opportunity.
Speaking of wasted opportunities, that is the end of our show. Why don't we wrap it up, bring it to a close, Gabe, with the usuals, or John, whoever wants to do the honors.
Gabe's got the scrolls right in front of him. Go for it.
You can find us on our homepage at 8-4.jp, on our second home, giantbomb.com. We have a thread on Resetera. You can leave a post there. You can download us on Apple Podcasts. Please leave 5-star reviews. You can follow the show on Twitter at 84play. You can follow me on Twitter at Gabriel De Leon. John, where can they find you?
John TV. Mark, where are you at?
I'm at Mark McD. Tina.
I am Tina Butts with 2 T's and a Z. Roy?
I'm at Kotawari. Gabe?
Find me at Gabriel De Leon.
Oh, we're going to do it again.
He double dipped.
Oh, did he go first? We'll just keep going. Yeah. Patreon. Let's keep going. Who's next, Gabe?
Patreon coming soon.
Soon, asterisk.
Tell a friend about the podcast. In the meantime, tell a friend about the podcast. That's how you can help. And start saving up Start saving up all your money.
Mark, I got a quick throwback that I need to ask before we end the podcast. I'm going to go, this is only tried and true listeners will even understand this, but I don't know if you'll even remember this. Whatever happened to Mark McDonald of the New York Times? Do you remember that guy?
No.
So 10 years ago on the first podcast back after the quake, 10 years ago was the big March 11th earthquake, and we took off for like a month. We kind of had to. And when we came back, you were telling us about how people kept tweeting at you and like saying thanks for like the news story on the reactor and this and that and the other thing, because there was like some guy at the New York Times named Mark McDonald with MC instead of MAC.
You're going to make me Google my name, which I have not done for, I don't think, 10 years. But look, I am the first result on Mark McDonald. Yes, I have it back, motherfuckers.
Wait.
There's some fucking pastor somewhere. Fucking eat it. Eat it, fucking Jesus boy.
Hey, hold on. What about Mark
McD back on top, baby?
But Mark McD actually looks like he's... Oh, wait, there's no new articles on the New York Times since 2017.
Okay, you know what? No, you know what? He's coming. I got to be careful, though, because here he is. Okay, he's number two. His Instagram is number two. And number three is the Mark McDonald, who was the bane of my existence. American diet, nutrition, fitness, and health expert, television star, global instructor, and speaker, blah, blah, blah. Okay, and then the bishop. There's a bishop, Mark McDonald. He's now a bishop.
Wait,
but he's fallen in the fucking Google rankings. So I don't give a shit how he's succeeding in his, you know, spiritual career.
That's not. Does he have the same middle name as you, or is that different? Why do I associate Lawrence with you? Oh, were you from like Lawrence, Kansas, or something? No.
Yes, yeah, I did go to school in Lawrence, Kansas.
Okay.
The health guy is Mark Michael McDonald. Which, like, why wouldn't you go by Michael McDonald if you could have that name?
Triple M, man.
And be associated with fucking Michael McDonald, like. That'd be amazing. Archbishop, yeah. Oh, wait, Archbishop now.
Oh, shit. Whoa. He job leveled up, man.
Archbishop. Dang. Holy shit.
Grinding that JP.
Church of Canada. Okay, anyway, I can read about this on my own time.
What?
You don't need to.
Yeah, Tina, this is one of yours.
There's the Church of Canada?
Sure is.
No, he's... Yes, there is an Anglican Church of Canada, apparently. Maybe he founded it. I don't know. Indigenous Canadian Anglicans is kind of his forte.
I didn't know that was a thing.
He gets mistaken for me all the time.
Yeah, he turned archbishop in 2019, it says. I'm really curious how that happened.
Holy shit. Was there
like
a
ceremony?
I wonder if anybody calls them and they think they've connected to you because they genuinely are like, yeah, I'm really, you know, like I'm interested in discussing more about gaming Jesus. And he's like, yes, Jesus, yes.
Yeah, exactly. Okay,
right. Jesus sure, we'll also will enjoy... Whatever it is you like,
Mark,
whatever
you should,
it is will make Jesus relatable to you.
You should switch to gaming archbishop just to really fuck with people. Like,
how are you going to get higher than Jesus? Come on, archbishop, please. He's probably getting all my fucking Patreon money. He's probably got his own Patreon. He's like, why am I getting $100,000 a month? All these people talking about this Pokemon book that I never wrote. thanking me for making their childhoods so special.
Anyway. Okay.
Shout outs to Mark L. McDonald. If you're listening somewhere, if you know him, find him and tell him to tell a friend about the podcast. And I think that's about it until 2 weeks from now. So who wants to take us out?
Ain't no lie, baby. Bye, 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 bye.
Hershey's pot of gold! We need the chocolate because it's just not right without it. There is time! Hurry up! There's real time! It's unbelievable! Oh, phew, you smell that?
It's Hershey time, baby. It's insane, Chelsea! It's insane! We have your elf style. Merry freaking Christmas, boys and girls. While supplies left. Whoo! Oh, it's Christmas all over. My heart is filled, baby. You need to bring more angels into your life.